So, how many of you here this morning would say you are a child of the Most High God? And this is a participation. Yep. How many of you would like to see our Heavenly Father glorified here on the earth? And how many of you would like the world to know and to show the world what our Father is really like and bring glory to Him? Oh, we've got fewer hands now. Sorry. Absolutely. Well, the title of my message is, What Are You Waiting For? And this isn't this is to be an encouragement. What are we waiting for? And we can look at it from this perspective. And let's start here. This is from Romans 28:29. It says, For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like Jesus. Did you say hello to your brothers and sisters this morning? Did you look around the room and recognize them as brothers and sisters? Or are these just people who attend church that you go to? They're our brother. You are our brothers and sisters. We're family. We care about each other. We love each other. We want to know how you're doing, what's going on in your life. And we want to take time to get to know each other. How many of you called somebody in the church family this week just to chat? That's not a slam, but we can do that. Most of us have phones. It doesn't always mean you have to go out for a coffee or spend a lot of time. Sometimes it's just a quick call. Sometimes it's listening to Holy Spirit and asking Him, Father, who should I contact this week? Does my brother need a call? Does my sister need a call? Does my pastor need a call? Hello. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. I'm not your brother. I'm your sister. I was about to say brother. I'm your sister. And this is it. We were created in the likeness of God. From before we were born, we had a destiny in God. To be created or to share in the likeness of His Son, Jesus. He's the firstborn of many sons and daughters. And we just said, hey, I'm a child of the Most High God. That's what we've just shared. Jesus said this, and I'll put this up here. I'm going to read it first. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And that is from the book of John chapter 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you hear what Jesus' heart is? His heart is not only for us and for us being saved, but it's for the Father, that the Father would be glorified in what He has done and what He is doing. Through the Son, the Father would be glorified. So let's ask, what brings glory to the Father? What brings glory to God? It's faith. Faith in Him. If you told one of your children that you would do something for them, and you knew you were going to do it, but they just didn't believe you, how does that feel? It's hard. Why don't you believe me? And that's the same as we could be. We can be that way with God. We just don't believe Him. We don't trust Him. But God has been proven Himself over and over again to be faithful and trustworthy. And so, if we want to glorify God, we trust Him. We trust His word. We recognize that sometimes our thinking and our platitudes, if you want to put it that way, the way we justify what's going on is not in line with what the promises of God are. And that's where we can take hold of them. It says take captive and make them line up with what God has said. Jesus' heart was for us and for the Father. And I think we'd all agree that Jesus had faith in the Father. How many of you think he didn't? He was totally sold out for God. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He believed the Father. He took him at his word, and he did not doubt his word. Even when facing death, Jesus knew what he had to go through. Remember when he prayed in the garden? Man, if there's another way, Lord, let her be, because he wasn't looking forward to what was coming as far as the crucifixion. But yet Scripture tells us for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It wasn't the cross he was looking forward to. It was looking at the results, the joy. And that joy is you. Do you recognize right now you are the victory of the cross? You're the victory of the cross. Oh my goodness. Praise Jesus. Look what he's done. Jesus, knowing what he was going to have to go through, was willing to go to that cross because he believed the Father. He believed the Father was going to raise him from the dead, that this was not the end. He was going to be raised to life. He believed it so much so before it even happened, he told his disciples, this is what's going to happen. And when it was finished, oh, what glory came through that finished work. Now we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, seated in the highest of heavens. He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. All principalities and powers are under his feet. This same Jesus said to his disciples, and I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask anything for, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. He has all power and authority to do that. He is seated in the highest of heavenly places. And are you not a son or a daughter of the Most High God? Yes. Yes. You are. So, are you a disciple of Jesus? So this is for you. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified. You may ask of me anything in my name and I will do it. You know, sometimes we're afraid to ask things. I'll share a little story of my own life. I've been having, some issues with my truck about a month ago where I'd be driving along and all of a sudden it would stop. Well, apparently it's a Ford thing. Sorry for Ford lovers, but it's a Ford thing. I Googled it. And I kind of went, you know, I have to honestly admit, you know, the last couple of years I've been grateful for this vehicle, but I've had to put a few repairs into it, and it kind of gets to that place, how many more do you want to put in this thing? So I went to the Father, and I kind of said, Dad, you know, Papa, I'm not at a place where I can afford a car payment. I just can't. And I don't know what I'm going to do about this. And should I put any more money into it? And the Lord said to me, it'll keep running until the next vehicle comes. That's a promise he made me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Now, my problem is, when I get in that vehicle every time, I have to remind myself, Lord, you promised. And I'm not going to say that there aren't, you know, waverings because, well, it's a Ford. No, sorry. No, well, it's a vehicle that has proven to not always be reliable. Let's put it that way. But you know who is? My Father in heaven. My Father who knows all my needs. My Father who loves me. My Father who made a promise to me. And there's times, did I really hear that or did I just wish I'd heard that? And I have to step in faith that I heard that. And I step into the Word of God that says he will provide all my needs according to his riches. That my Father is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. My God is faithful and he's Papa to me. So there are times when Jesus said, ask, and I do, but I don't believe. Or I sort of believe. And I think sometimes that's what you and I. You know, I started by asking you, how many of you say you're a child of the Most High God and want to see our Heavenly Father glorified on earth and want people to really know what he's like? We looked at that scripture. I'm just going to bring it up again. That he knew all about us and that he wants us to reflect Jesus. And as we just shared, Jesus trusted God, trusted his word, trusted him and what he said. Now, I want you to stop and think about this verse again. He destined us to be like his son. His oldest, Jesus. He's the first of many brothers and sisters, just like him. That's you, just like him. We've been given the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus. And all that Jesus did and does as the Son brought glory to the Father. Can you see where I'm going with this? That we as sons and daughters can bring glory to the Father. Because we're becoming just like Jesus. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I shared the message and I poured the water, you know, we've become a new creation. And I poured Jesus into it. We couldn't tell where we started and Jesus ended. We're Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us. We are like Jesus. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And we can bring glory to the Father. We do bring glory to the Father as we have faith in him and trust in him and do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He loved people. He cared for them. He prayed for them. He healed them. He fed them. He did crazy things to build the faith in his disciples, like walked on water and calmed storms. And Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than this because I'm going to the Father. And sometimes we forget. This is a promise of Jesus. That we can lay hands on people and see them recover. That we can pray for them and see things happen. We could raise the dead. Now I'm going to say this, and Al, I'm not saying this or anything, but I don't think, I'm just being honest here. If we went up and laid hands on Judy's body, that she wouldn't rise from the dead. But you know what I think she would do? I'm sorry, I'm just going to be honest. Get out of here, you guys. I'm going home. I'm going to be with the Lord. Don't. And again, I think some of us are, how many of us would be ready to go up and do that right now and go pray for Judy? How many of us think that that's what Judy wants? I'm going to ask. And so that's where we sit right now, kind of like, I'm going to be honest, I think Judy's happy where she is. And that's no comment about life here on earth, but boy, life with the Lord. Life with the Lord. But bless you for wanting to. I'll tell you what, if something happens to me, come and lay hands on me unless you've got a specific word for the Lord. And if I sit up and say, look, guys, I'm happy where I am. You guys, thank you, but I'm going home. Then just know. But we have that power because the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. Amen? We are sons and daughters, and we want to bring glory to the Father. Let me tell you, if you go lay hands on a sick family member or somebody in your neighborhood and they recover, do you think the Lord will be glorified? Absolutely. That's the heart of our Father. And we want the reality of him. And it's coming, folks. And we can either get on the bus or we can sit at the bus stop. Okay, sorry, I lost my place. It's our turn. Okay, it's our turn to bring glory to the Father by living as Jesus did. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, we are. Jesus promised it, and we've received him. And then believing the word of God and doing what Jesus did. That brings glory to the Father. Having faith in him, faith in his word. We're going to 2 Corinthians here. It says, for as God is true to his word, my promise to you, and this is Paul speaking, was not a fickle yes then when I meant no. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is whom Timothy, Silas, and I, who is Paul and Shannon, have preached to you. And he will never be both a yes and a no. He has always been and always be for us a resounding yes. Say that with me. He has always been and will always be for us a resounding. And is it a little yes? It's a yes. For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him. As his yes and our amen ascend to God, we will bring glory to him. How many of you read promises of the Bible? How many of you see them? How many of you find them in there? How many of you read them and say, yes? Because Jesus has already told us. He's already said, ask anything. My answer is yes. And then we add, yes, amen, yes, so be it. Yes, that's right. And I don't mean, okay, yeah. We need to engage it. We need to remind ourselves. Sometimes ourselves, it's like, oh, well, yeah. But sometimes you need to get yourself going and saying, yes. That's what the Lord said. Amen, Jesus, I'm believing in. Amen, Father, you are good. Look what the word says. Look what you've promised, and you are faithful. My God is faithful. We have a God who is true to his word. And all the kingdom of God is fulfilled in Jesus, the Christ. And therefore, everything is a yes in him. For us. I want to ask you, what is the Father denying Jesus? Is there anything the Father's denying Jesus? No. And is there anything Jesus is denying us? No. We have a faithful Father. And as we make our declarations of faith, as we state the word of God, and add our amen, our so be it, or that's right. In agreement with these promises, they rise to heaven and bring glory to God. It then we see it manifest in our lives. We see it start coming. We start standing. We start strengthening our faith. I want to talk about Abraham here. We want to stand like Abraham, who believed God, taking him at his word. But we're going to read this right now from Romans. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do whatever he had promised. This is why it is credited to him as righteousness. The words "it is credited to him" were written not only for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us to believe in him who raised Christ from the dead, our Lord. Who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. I'm sorry. He has delivered over to death. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Poor Abraham. He doesn't even get called into the journey God had for him until he was 75. Old. How many of you say that's old? Don't ask me to go on a long journey. And he walked. Well, maybe he rode a camel. I don't know. How many of us would get on a camel right now? It's like, I don't think I could swing my leg over that thing. Hump or no hump. I wouldn't be able to hold on. 75, and there he goes, both him and his wife, across the desert, across to the new promised land, across to Canaan. And he has no children, but he has a promise. He has a promise as great as the stars are in the sky and the sand on the seashore, so shall be your descendants. And Abraham's looking at his body, he's 100 years old, and going, man, that ain't happening unless God intervenes. But the truth is this, he believed the truth of God. God could intervene. He had the power to do it, and he was willing to do it. And so I love what this says, that yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Man, when we see circumstances and situations that just are beyond us, are you strengthened in your faith? Or is that where the wavering comes a little bit? And do you give glory to God in it? Or do we waver a little bit? I'm going to be honest, I'm a waverer. Until I stop, let Holy Spirit speak to me again. Let the Word of God rise in my heart. And I have to get up there and encourage myself. David used to do that. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Because I'm looking in the wrong place. I'm thinking on the wrong thing. I need to go back to God who is able and willing. To the words of Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. And I hope this morning that you are recognizing as a son and a daughter of God, you are bringing glory to God when you stand and not waver, when you stand persuaded that God has the power to do all things. The title of my message was, What Are You Waiting For? Now that can mean to you that maybe I need to get up and get going. Maybe I need to encourage myself again in the words of God. It might mean that to you, but it also could be this. Maybe you have been waiting for some of the promises of God to be fulfilled. And you've been waiting a long time like Abraham. You're waiting to see somebody healed or a family member come back to the Lord or come to the Lord. Maybe you're waiting on financial help, or maybe there's relationship struggles you're waiting to see healed. Maybe you're looking for deliverance, maybe for yourself, maybe for your family member, or there's someone who's in addiction who needs to be set free. Whatever it is, stand firm in the promises of God, unwavering, like Abraham. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep letting your faith be strengthened in the situation, knowing that God is able and willing. You know what? What's one of the first words a baby learns to say? No. Now, we always see it as a place of rebellion against no. But what about the enemy? What about those thoughts that come along that start moving you down a path that takes you into unbelief? You can say no. Let's hear you say it. No. Oh, come on. No. Say it like you mean it.
No.
No. No. We're not going to let you take me down that path. For my God is good and he is faithful. My God says of me, I am the head and not the tail. My God says of me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My God says of me, all things are for me because I am his. I can ask anything. I have the Holy Spirit. I can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I can raise the dead. I can feed the thousands. my God says of me, and I'm going to trust his word. My God says of me, all of my children will serve the Lord. I'm trusting in that. My God says the prodigals will return. My God. And so